Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to bring your people together in effectual, fervent prayer for the nation and for your people. The enemy is running rampant. And it's obvious there isn't enough prayers of faith out there. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us together in one accord, even though we're in many different areas of the world, to pray and to believe and to cast down the works of darkness. Thank you so much, Father, for your blessing, for your drawing, for your hunger for prayer, for fasting, for praying. Thank you for helping us, Lord, in all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to continue with the planned war on God's people. And what we really need to do, saints, is use our authority. And I want to share a portion of George Washington's vision of America called the Third and Most Fearful Peril. These three perils are wars on American soil. The first two came to pass perfectly, and the third one I believe that we're in right now. And although I do think that prayer and changes have lessened this, which is good news, there is still ugly things on the horizon that we need to pray against. So, anyway, again I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic," which was George Washington, "look and learn." At this, the dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. And taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa, which basically happened. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one, and throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light, by which I saw hordes of armed men. These men, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of the cloud. And I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up. Well, this army has been gathering and have already burned towns and forests. One town is not very far from me in their hatred for America. Also, Muslims are on the sidelines waiting their particular chance or masking themselves as Antifa and other organizations. And they're waiting their opportunity. And so, and which we've talked about for a long time, that they're going to take opportunities. And the mainstream media has totally aligned itself with the far left, the deep state, Satanists, BLM, Antifa, communists. These Antichrist or anarchists, terrorist groups are encouraging the war. And groups of these are training in foreign lands, as we pointed out before, in order to overthrow this republic. I'll put you a link here for that. And by the way, I'm going to also put here in the article the White House petition to declare Antifa a terrorist organization. Before this came out, actually, we prayed that the Lord would do that. That was one thing that came to me, is pray that Antifa would be declared a terrorist organization. Therefore, they can move against it in these cities. And they should be doing it anyway, for goodness sake. So I'll put that petition there for you to look at. And going on, as my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, the clashing of the swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." And where the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Well, as Christians, our job now is to take the authority we are given by Jesus to cast down Satan and the principalities and the powers and the rulers of this darkness. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." These are types of demons that rile people up to do such things. "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Do you believe it? Well, you can be pretty bold if you believe that, right? "Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you." That's just to prove to you that what he was saying about treading upon serpents and scorpions was indeed talking about types of demons. "But rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Well, we're assured victory if we will fight. Many people don't know they should fight. They're just leaving everything up to God. But God has told us how we're going to win this thing in the Scriptures. And the majority of Christianity knows nothing about that. They know nothing about dealing with demons. And that's all because they have departed from the Word of God and listened to their preachers who are not filled with the Spirit of God, nor do they know anything about spiritual warfare. And so they're sitting there idle. Luke 11:20 says, If I by the finger of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. And by the way, when we cast them out, the same thing happens. The kingdom of God comes. Verse 21, "When the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his," and that's Satan, "his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him," and that is Jesus, "and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils." He has no defense against us. Literally, Satan has no defense. If you believe that, it's true. If you don't believe that, it's not true for you. He has no defense against us. The Lord Jesus took that away. We need to remember that, and we need to go to war. Because if we don't fight, we lose automatically. 23, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." This is clear. If we do not plunder Satan's kingdom for the kingdom of God, he will plunder us. And this battle will turn from just a political and a spiritual battle to extreme violence and many deaths. When we do spiritual warfare, it's the angels of God that do battle in the heavenlies. And we know that a type of this is in Revelation chapter 12, from 7 on down. And it says, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred with his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." The dragon prevailed not. What he's worried about is the people of God waking up and doing what they did to bring this about. That is, the angels of God conquering them. Just remember, it only took one angel to bind Satan and cast him in the pit. Just one. That one of God's measliest angels has power over Satan. And the thing is, so do we. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now that power of the enemy is both human and those demons that use them. He's given that to us by faith. It's just like divine healing. He's given it to us by faith. If you don't exercise faith, you won't get it. It doesn't matter if you believe in it. If you don't exercise faith, you won't get it. If you don't believe in this, you will not get it. But these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. My goodness. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. One of his deceptions is that he has power that you don't have. He has power to deceive those who do not love the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what he has power to do. And he deceives many Christians to believe that he has power over them. But our Lord Jesus won back the power that Adam lost because he too was tested. But he didn't fail. His servant you are whom you obey. He didn't obey Satan and he didn't fail. And he was able to pass on this wondrous authority to his children. Adam lost it for his children, which is terrible. Because they lived under the curse. And so Satan has deceived the whole world into thinking he's somebody. I mean, he tried that on Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry when he was fasting and praying in the wilderness, right? But he couldn't deceive Jesus and he couldn't take it away from him. And he was cast down to the earth. And his angels were cast down with him. Praise God. No prince of the powers of the air. Right? And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Well, we know that Christ has always had authority. But he exercises that authority in the earth through his body, his very large body. The plan, of course, was for Christ to leave and come back in a body that could preach the gospel and exercise dominion and authority over the whole earth. He couldn't do that in that physical body, so he's come back in a spiritual body. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The man-child ministry and the bride ministries are going to be the first two ministries that have actually come to the place where they're exercising that authority. That's why it says, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. We are to uphold the authority of Christ, which he passed on to us. It goes on to say, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And who did that? And who did this? Well, you say Michael and his angels. That's true, but Michael and his angels get their authority from you. We are the ones that bind and loose on this earth. And when they see that we speak in agreement with the Word of God, they go forth and do. Because verse 11 says, and they, that is the saints, the sanctified ones who know their authority. They overcame him, that is Satan. How did they overcome him? What is the important aspects of being able to overcome Satan and exercising our authority over him? Well, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. What did the blood of the Lamb gain us? I asked for a word by faith at random, and I got Luke 1:68 on down. I'm going to read it to you. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people. What kind of redemption? Well, verse 69 says, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old, salvation from our enemies. So he's talking about redemption from our enemies. And the house of David just points out that where God is going to start restoring this authority, the man-child ministry. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Now let's see, who could that be? It just says enemies. So that's pretty broad scope. I mean, that talks about the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness and Satan himself and every one that he uses to come against the people of God. Because throughout history, everybody that stood for God, like the prophets, on and on, everybody was persecuted by Satan and the people that he ministered through. And so it says, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. We have this right. We have this redemption. It happened at the cross. 72, to show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. All right. His holy covenant. Remember his holy covenant. You know, he's going to come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. What that day is it? It's this day. What they said back there has never been completely understood or empowered to come to pass. That's going to happen in our day with the manifestation of the sons of God. The oath which ye spake unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies should serve him without fear. Without fear. He granted unto us through this redemption that we would be delivered out of the hand of our enemies. But yet that's not an automatic thing just because it's written in the Word. The Word which was spoken unto them wasn't effective because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard, the Bible says. Right? So today, we have to mix the Word with faith. We have to be believers. In holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That is our right in the kingdom of God. And to be delivered out of the hand of our enemies. And we're redeemed and saved from the hand of our enemies if we believe and fight the good fight of the faith as we're commanded. And Colossians 1:13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So, we're under the Son in the kingdom of God. We're not under the power of darkness. People serve sin. They serve demons because they don't know what freedom is, and they don't study the scripture enough to know what freedom is. So this is including all of these principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and the people that they're raising up. He delivers us from them. Let's go back to Revelation 12 and 11. They overcame him. Why? Because it goes on to say, because of the word of their testimony. We just read before this, because of the blood of the Lamb. Now it's because of the word of their testimony. And the word testimony is also witness, same word. What do we witness? Well, Luke 12 and 8 says, "And I say unto you, every one who shall confess me before men," that is their witness, right? Confess means, it comes from the Greek word homologeo, meaning to speak the same as. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We have to come into agreement with God. And we confess him before men. We say what he says. And we are to confess what Jesus said. And that is that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And exercise it. And it goes on, "Him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." Now this is very important because they are the ministering spirits that go forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. When they hear agreement with the word of God coming out of you, they act on it. We believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord over every situation. In other words, Jesus will confirm our power over the enemy. And the angels will go forth and do. And back to Revelation 12:11 again, there was one more reason. They overcame him because they loved not their life even unto death. Those who love their life will not sacrifice it to serve in the king's army. It's a distraction from the things that they love. And yet it's very clear in the scriptures. Anybody that reads the scriptures knows that we are a mighty army. When we walk by faith in the promises of God and know who we are and know that Satan's been conquered, he's been bound. He is the strong man that is bound. And now all we have to do is plunder. That's right. He can't resist us. But we have to believe this. So, again, those who love their life will not sacrifice it in order to serve in the king's army, and they will continue to be distracted with the cares of this life and will not sacrifice their flesh to go to war to save their brethren, and especially poor, ignorant Nineveh. Remember Jonah and Nineveh? Mm-hmm. Jonah didn't want to do it. He wanted the easy life. He didn't want to do it. I hope you heard last Sunday's broadcast on 8:20. It's important concerning the inspection and what the inspectors are looking for to qualify the bride. And Father promised great blessings to our families and UBM if we would just sacrifice our lives to fight in his army. disaster is approaching if we fail. In that broadcast, Eve Brass said, "It's interesting that in the dream they asked me to cover for Chablis. It's spelled S-H-A-B-L-E-E. But it's representing Chablis. C-H-A-B-L-I-S, right? Which is wine. In other words, Jesus talked about people that were drunken. He wasn't talking about physically drunken. He was talking about spiritually drunken on this life. And who, by the way, didn't pass the inspection and could continue no longer with the bride in her ministry. Isn't that interesting? People who are not passing this test are being rejected. Now, we've got to do their job. We've got to cover for those who walk in the flesh. She said, "It's interesting that in the dream they asked me to cover for Chablis next Wednesday because Father has led me to start a 40-day liquids-only fast today, which is the 19th of August, and it will end on Wednesday, which is the 27th of September. He asked me last night," she said, "are you willing to sacrifice for the victory of your family and your brethren?" Everybody that goes to war makes sacrifices. They would love to stay home and do the things that are pleasing to the flesh. But the Lord is calling us to sacrifice. He's calling us to be warriors. He said, "Are you willing to sacrifice for the victory of your family and your brethren?" I answered that I was. Then he told me he wanted me to fast for 40 days. And he told me that this will result in many victories and breakthroughs for my family and my UBM brethren. Well, I believe that this is saying that Eve, as in the dream, was a type of the bride in this revelation, and all who are in the bride should fast and seek the king during this time to take away from the beast or Haman and give to the man-child bride, Mordecai, Esther, which is our Purim. We take away the authority of Satan. He only has it by deception. We take it away. We are exercising our authority to cast him down, just like in Revelation 12. And so this corporate body fulfillment of this 40-day fast was confirmed to me. I asked for a confirmation from the Lord, and he gave it to me. And others, too, received this confirmation. Others here locally did. And as Mordecai and Esther went to war and petitioned the king for their people, so must we. And we at local UBM have started this fast, and I'm already feeling a renewed faith and a vigor to do warfare. I've been waking up every morning at 3 o'clock and going to prayer, and it feels good, you know. So, in the scriptures, Fasting from food and sometimes from food and water, depending upon where you look. In my past, I've preferred the latter, fasting from food and water. And I believe some of those fasts are much harder than this one that is being spoken about here, you know, fasting from food and water. Well, first of all, they tell you that'll kill you after just a few days, but I found out that's a lie. Of course, I knew it was a lie from the scriptures, you know. If you're fasting to God, that's a different situation. I've never fasted food and water for 40 days. I have fasted food and water for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I lost some weight. A spiritual fast is to deny to feed the flesh in many ways. Any ways you want to sacrifice, I guess. And to deal your bread to the hungry. Right? As Isaiah said. But the Lord is weak to the weak, and He accepts any sacrifice of our lives and the things that we love as a proof of our commitment to Him and to His cause. And you know, we're told that if we love His people, we love Him. And if we don't love His people, we don't love Him. And whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When we're sacrificing in order to do warfare for the brethren, and if we lose this country to the deep state, folks, it's going to be murder. Literally. So we are sacrificing for the brethren, and we're sacrificing for those people out there that may never get to know the Lord if we don't do warfare. And sometimes He asks us to give up things that are valuable to us before He gives us something better. And I always proclaim that He always gives you something better. Many have testimonies of these things. Many have given money only to receive much more in return. Fasts are usually voluntary in the scripture and instigated by the individual, but sometimes one in authority commands a corporate fast. And we're not commanding this sacrifice. It's a voluntary work. But the ones that do it will see the benefits, which are sorely needed right now. Brethren, a liquids-only fast is not as hard as many would think. In the natural, it's very healthy to clean out poisons that are stored up in the fat in your body. But leave the body during a fast. Many have been healed or received miracles on fasts. I suggest anybody that's struggling with their faith, needing a healing or a miracle, that you fast. I always have. It's a very good thing to do. It's power with God. And you can put all the nutrients that you need in liquids. We have some V8 that we made, believe it or not, by blending our garden vegetables and tomatoes, which would have spoiled during our fast. And it's very good. Fruit juices are good too. There's even things out there like Boost, which is a tasty nutrient drink, you know. I'm sure many of you have better ideas than me on this, but especially you cooks and people like that, you know, it is to be a sacrifice. So it's not a time to pig out even on liquids. We're not here to retain all of our fat, you know. We're here to sacrifice to the Lord. And the most important thing is to not waste your fast, but pray and do warfare during it. Put it to work for you, you know. Some things we should pray and war against are, one that comes to my mind is our president has changed during this war with the left. He has become angry and unforgiving. I know he doesn't understand the things that we've been speaking about, and he doesn't understand that this is wrong. And anyway, this unforgiveness is opening him up to the same crazy demons as the left has. And we can do something about this. Matthew 18 and 34 says, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors." That's the one that wouldn't forgive others until he should pay all that was due. "So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts." So pray. Pray against these spirits taking advantage over President Trump. Pray that he learn it's so important for him to forgive everyone and to love his enemies. I know that God chose him because of attributes that he has, and he's using that vessel to fight in ways that Christians can't do. And he is escaping judgment because he's doing it in ignorance, but God is using him as the vessel that he is. He does that all the time. All vessels belong to him. And, you know, he was seeking peace with Russia and China, but now he's provoking them to war. And I'm bringing this up only because I feel you need to pray for him for this. And, of course, this war is exactly what the left and the deep state people want. They're full of hatred for any enemy. That's what they do. And they have other ulterior motives. They're being bought off and paid, you know, to do this by the powers that be, and bribed to do this by the powers that be, who want war. They want to cut down the population. They want to have control over resources everywhere. These murderous people, they love war. They have bought, they have paid for both sides to go to war many times throughout history. These people are strictly in it for themselves. But deep state people are getting bribed, and they're already dabbling in Satanism. And you don't do that without really adverse consequences. And this is what faction spirits do. President Trump was prayed over by the false revival Kundalini ministers, too, as if he didn't have enough problems. So be sure and pray for him, and pray deliverance for him. And he has too many leftists on his team, and it's growing, and that's not good. They need to go. You need to pray. You need to intercede. You need to command the angels to go forth and take these people out of there. The Satanists and the deep state are warring to destroy America. And on the religious side of this faction, they are spiritually killing their own families and friends, and those that are compelled to convert to their evil. Everyone that is evil is on the left, but we must judge the spiritual hosts of wickedness behind them. You know, the Red Sea will take them down. That's what God has said. But even that is just a promise from God. There's nothing wrong with a promise from God, but it's useless until you exercise faith in it. But God has a means to bring about this end of wickedness. And that's us doing what we're commanded, taking the authority and doing what we're commanded. It's not going to church on Sunday and going home and doing the rest of your week just feeding the old flesh. We have a job to do. We need to fight. What we have seen is the angels will fight for us if we fight the good fight of the faith. Here's the rest of Washington's vision concerning the angels helping us, just as we saw in Revelation 12. It says, "Heaven intervenes Instantly a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union, and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descended from the heavens, attended by legions of white spirits, that's angels. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately taking courage again, because angels have the authority to do that, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Now, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but there are people who are ignorant and are used as those kinds of vessels, right? Okay, so I believe we're fast approaching this point of well nigh overcome here. We have already had threats that the whole world would be taken over by faction. Let's show the world our love and fight against their enemies and ours. Let's show the Lord our love. And it went on to say, again, amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, Son of the Republic, look and learn. As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel for the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. You know, use your authority. Send those that have come here to harm the people of America home. Use your authority. Then once more I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before, while the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, while the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last. Well, how accurate is this? The heaven is rolled up as a scroll in the great day of the Lord after the tribulation in Revelation 6 and 14. So that's how long the Union is going to last, and then it won't be the Union anymore. This kingdom shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And taking from his brow the crown on which blazoned the word Union, he placed it upon the standard while the people kneeling down said, Amen. That's a thought. They obviously, after their great tribulation, now respect God. The most powerful prayer is the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18 and 18 says, Verily I say unto you, what things soever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now God means that. I don't know why people ignore this. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When we disagree with God, we're loosing the devil. When we agree with God, we're binding the devil. In verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. Let me just give you a suggested corporate prayer of agreement here. And I'm not saying this should be the only one. It'd be lovely to just send out corporate prayers every day for people to agree with. I've thought about figuring a way to do that. But anyway, well, Father, we just take the authority that you've given unto us to destroy the works of darkness, as our Lord taught us to do. We know that the ultimate end of us taking authority will be that the kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, Revelation 11 and 15. Father, first and foremost, we ask that you would save and open the eyes of many among the wicked who are your called and chosen, and that you would strengthen and give wisdom to your people to pray fervent and effectual prayers to bring down this anarchy against the Constitution and your word. In Jesus' name, we bind you, Satan, and your faction and witchcraft demons from warring against our president, the man-child, the bride, and the true church. We bind you in Jesus' name. Your warfare will be ineffectual except to train up people in the way of warfare. We bind you from using the elite and their money to stir up the left and the fake right. We ask you, Father, to fill the conservative people, even if they are not saved, with wisdom and determination to win this battle, because all souls belong to you. All vessels are yours. We send forth the ministering spirits to remove the spies and the bad influences from the Trump cabinet and administration and leadership in every state, and the judges who make evil laws. Father, we ask you to remove them or save them. We send you forth, you angels, we send you forth to save and remove all who are in positions of law and government who are infected with the demons of faction and witchcraft and criticism and are lawbreakers, even outwardly, boldly lawbreakers. And the mainstream media who are infecting people with faction and witchcraft through slander. We ask you, we send forth the angels to remove these people. Bring down their kingdom, as you have been doing, Lord. Continue to bring them down till they can't afford to even keep doing what they're doing. Replace them, Lord. I know that there's a move on, and Bannon is a part of it, to replace some of them with right-wing people, especially Fox News. And we send you angels forth to reveal to the whole world their lawbreaking and disrespect for the people's vote, and to render them useless with confusion and scatter them. Father, you said that you would go forth and fight against them as you fought in the day of battle. And when you fought in the day of battle, it was to cause them to fall out with one another and fight each other. Let them tell the truth about each other. Let them reveal the secrets that have been hidden. We pray the wicked reap the faction that they have sown so they can learn better, and that they fall into the traps that they lay for the conservatives. Father, I pray for the conservatives, that they would understand the wisdom of godliness, that they would come to God, but also that they would be bold to fight. Many of the people who are Republicans are afraid. We ask you to put boldness in them. And we send forth the angels to reveal all involved in the sacrificing of the children for power from Satan, and to reveal the pedophile Satanists in every country who are destroying the children to gratify their evil lusts. We ask you, Father, to bring this down. And you have been doing it in every nation, and it's going to continue in a greater way. We confess it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And Eve posted on our local blog tools for our fast. And she said, Father spoke to me yesterday, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and he reminded me to proceed through this fast with the attributes of love in my heart, otherwise it will profit us nothing. I was reminded also of the word that he spoke to me last week on Friday. He lamented, as he said, many of my people are weary and well-doing. There is a callousness and an indifference to my Holy Spirit. He then gave me a closed vision while we were singing Friday night. I was standing and holding a heart of stone, and Jesus came and stood in front of me. I only saw his white robe and his chest and arms, and he took the heart of stone from my hands and replaced it with a real beating heart of flesh. And that's from Ezekiel 36. I'll read it, starting in verse 24. I will take you from among the nations and gather you from all the countries. And, of course, we are one holy nation, so we're coming together into one in the Spirit, right? And will bring you into your own land, and that's what that means. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And Eve went on to say that, she said, I've been meditating on 1 Corinthians 13 since starting with the fast. From verse 3 on down, I'm going to just read from 1 on down, 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, gifts don't get you there, folks. It's fruit. It's fruit. Gifts are great. Fruit gets you there. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. Love is the principal thing. All right. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and if I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil. Wow. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Love never faileth. People who say they have a right to be ugly to others because of what they have done, they're liars. You have no rights whatsoever. Dead men have no right to retaliate, period. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Yeah. The gifts we've received in part will become perfected as we receive the giver. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now I'm become a man, and I've put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. And the principal thing to get there was love. And now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I was fully known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. This will definitely get you there. Eve said, Father also impressed upon me to listen to David's series, Power in Prayer with Fasting. There are six teachings all together here. And that's on our 1 hour audio page. I'll put it on here. And I'll put the links to those different teachings. So you can study those while you fast. It'll encourage you to fast. There is power in prayer with fasting. And she said, since I've begun this fast, I've asked Father for daily words concerning it for me and for us, and they really paint an encouraging picture. Here's what I have received so far. From the 19th through the 23rd. Psalm 69:18, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Ransom me, there it is again, because of mine enemies. Isaiah 9:1, but there shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. You have no idea what the joy of the Lord is coming to the bride when she's through with her testings and is ready to begin the tribulation. Luke 24:15, and her finger was on Jesus himself, drew near. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Isn't that awesome? Daniel 6:24, and the finger was on, and the king commanded. And the king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Well, there goes the faction, for goodness sake. Jeremiah 25:13, finger was on, I will bring upon that land all my words. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, and even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for this, and we just praise you and give thanks unto you, Father. We praise you that your goodness is going to draw us into fasting and prayer. I'm just going to give this one more verse. She was asking about separation, and she got this one last verse. 2 Chronicles 25:7. But there came a man of God unto him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. And this is why God has to separate from the bride those who do not walk with God. Because he went on to say, but if thou wilt go, do valiantly, be strong for the battle, but God will cast thee down before the enemy. You go with the unbelievers, folks, you're going to get cast down. Go with the believers. Doesn't matter who they are. For God hath power to help and to cast down. Okay. Well, thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for our blessings. And please bless the brethren to be in one accord in this fasting and prayer thing. And we will cast down Satan in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night, saints.